multimedia signal processing session on joint audio-visual signal processing. We have six papers, and for each one we have more or less 20 minutes, quarter of hour plus questions. We start with the first paper that is on audio-visual synchronization recovery multimedia content. The presenter is Jong Seo Klee. And the other author is Turaji Ibrahimi from the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Lausanne, Switzerland. Please, Mr.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jong Seo Klee from EPFL Switzerland. The title of my talk is Audio-Visual Synchronization Recovery in Multimedia Content. So this is the outline of my talk. First, I'm going to introduce the problem of audio-visual synchronization in multimedia content. And then I'm going to explain the contribution of my work. And then I will explain in detail what is the proposed method and some details about the correlation measures to measure the correlation between the audio and video signals. And then I show you some experimental result, and then at the end I'm going to conclude my talk with some summary and future works. So the problem of audio-visual synchronization in multimedia content can be explained in this context. So when we have some multimedia content, it usually contains both audio and video. So when you talk about the quality of multimedia, we have this the quality components from these two modalities. So for example, in audio, we have loudness, noise, or jitter components. And in video, we have blurring, blockiness, jerkiness, pixel noise, etc. But another important part is that the two signals have some mutual interaction. So for example, the quality of the two signals are mutually interact each other. And also, there is a problem of synchronization of the two modalities. So this is the problem that I want to talk today. So usually we expect some synchronous audio-visual signal in our life. This is the mouth of my wife, and if she calls my name, Lee, and then I expect this shape of mouth at the same time. This is our expectation of the synchronization in our daily life. And there's some studies about the synchronization problem in audio and video signals. And people found that there is also some tolerance in the synchronization. For example, there is a term intersensory integration window, which is about 200 milliseconds wide, during which the audio-visual perception is not degraded when the synchronization is within this error bound. So, for example, if you see this graph, the two signals, even if they are not perfectly synchronized, in this area, the people still perceive that the two signals are synchronized. So based on many studies about synchronization, there's also some standard document from ITU. So ITU, this document specifies the acceptability threshold as around plus minus 100 milliseconds, so that some standard or some multimedia systems should follow this guideline. But over this boundary, people start to perceive the misaligned audio and video signals. Unfortunately, we may have some asynchrony in the audio-visual signals, and this may happen during the all steps in the multimedia processing chain. So, for example, in acquisition, we know the speed of the light and the sound is different, and during the editing, they may have different processing times, or people can make mistakes simply, and during the transmission, they may suffer from different network transfer delay. Or during the restitution, maybe they have different delays in decoding. So the result of this asynchrony is, first of all, the quality is degraded. So maybe people get angry about that fact. And furthermore, the people don't understand the content, actually. So to solve this problem in our work, we developed an automatic algorithm to detect whether there is a synchrony in audio and video signals and recover the original synchronization. And for this, we exploit the audio-visual correlation structure, which is inherently there in the two signals. So the features of the method is, first, we don't have any assumption on the content. So therefore, we don't need any training. And also, this can be applied to any kind of content, both speech and non-speech content, as long as there is a moving motion responsible for the sound. And in particular, you used two different correlation measures and compared the results. So let me explain in detail the proposed method. The idea is quite simple. So when we have the two audio and video signals, where we don't know whether they are aligned well or not, we shift the audio signal relative to the video signal step by step and measure the correlation, and we find the moment where we get the maximum correlation between the two signals. So the algorithm can be summarized like this. So the first step is to extract some features, and then we divide the signal into some small unit that where we can apply some correlation analysis. So first we divide the whole signal into the temporal dimension so that we have some small segment. We call it as a temporal block here, and this is applied for both audio and video. And then further, we segment the video signal, the image frames, into smaller tiles, which is, in our case, we use 4x4 pixels, and so that we have to know, by doing this, we find where the sound is coming from. So then, for each hypothetical time shift, so this hypothetical time shift means we shift the audio signal step by step, one by one. And then for each temporal block, we do some analysis and then get the correlation. And the correlation is a maximum correlation of between the audio, time shifted audio, and then the video signal in this tile. And after we measure the correlation over the whole image frame, and then we take the maximum, and we expect this location having this maximum correlation is the sound source. And then after this, we compute the average of this maximum correlation over the temporal block, so from the beginning of the signal till the end of the signal. And we perform this, and then we can now, for each time shift, we have the correlation measure of the two signals, and then we choose the maximum value. And finally, after all these steps, we refine the time shift in a smaller resolution. So here, the time shift is done at the resolution of the video frame rate. So we get the correlation measures at each video frame rate. So when we have this kind of correlation curve for different time shift, let's say we get the maximum here, but actually we do the parabolic fitting over the three points, and then we get the maximum value here. So this is the final time shift that we can get. So the others are quite clear here, but the question is what kind of correlation measure we can use. So I consider two different methods. One is the mutual information, and the other one is the canonical correlation. So the mutual information is, as you know, probably know well, it's a quantity measuring the mutual dependence between two signals. And in particular, I use the quadratic mutual information proposed by Moreon in 2004. This uses Lenny's quadratic entropy, and it also uses Parsons PDF estimation for estimating the marginal and the joint PDF. So the equation is given by this. So, and here we need to model each PDF using some of the the Gaussian kernels. And so this, since it's a Parsons PDF estimation, these kernels are set on each data point, and we have a parameter that has to be fixed, which is the width of the Gaussian kernels. This is the usual parameter that we have to set. In our experiment, we did some grid search and then took the best one. The other correlation measure is the canonical correlation. It's a measure of correlation in the space where the projected signals have a maximum correlation. So finding this projection is equivalent to finding the common representation space of the two signals. So this is the equation of the correlation, canonical correlation. So as you can see, we need to find this projection vector W here, which project the input vector X and Y, which correspond to the audio and video signals, and we try to maximize the correlation measure. And this problem can be solved, the eigenvalue problem, which is available in many publications. So these are the two correlation measures that I use. So now let me explain some experimental results. So I tested the algorithm in three audiovisual sequences. Two are speech, and the other one is non-speech. And I simulated the asynchrony between 0 to 1 plus minus 1 second. And for features, I use a quite simple method, because I found this to work very well. But of course, the more complex method can be also used. For visual features, I take the pixel intensity and then I took the derivative along the time dimension. And also for audio feature, I calculated the energy and then took the derivative in the temporal dimension. And the analysis unit in time was 50 visual frames, which correspond around 2 seconds, depending on the sequence. And as I mentioned, the spatial tile was 4x4 pixels, but this is after downsampling the image frames. The image frame was downsampled to 1/16th, so 1/4 in each dimension. So here you can see the results summarized. So these are the three sequences that I used. The first one is a monologue by a guy. And second one, there are two guys, but only this guy is speaking. The other guy moves a bit with his lips or his head or his eyes. And the third one includes the bumping sound by the pen on the table. And this is the result. So x-axis means the simulated asynchrony from 0 to plus minus 1,000 millisecond, and the y-axis is the estimation error in millisecond. And the black bar means the results from using the mutual information, and the white bar means the results from canonical correlation. So if you see the results, first of all, if you see the results of mutual information, normally it's okay, but there are some cases where the error is not acceptable. For example, in this case, it's more than 100 milliseconds. This is more than 400 milliseconds. This is out of the acceptability threshold. And the main reason for this was that I mentioned that in mutual information, we need to set the parameter of the Gaussian width. And I tried all different kind of variants, but this was the best. And I couldn't find, this was the best result. So for some cases, the best width is some value. But on the other hand, for the other cases, it's some different values. So that was the main difficulty in using mutual information. On the other hand, if you look at the canonical correlation result, it's always less than 100 milliseconds. And as I mentioned before, the acceptability threshold is around 100 milliseconds. So here we can conclude that for these sequences, the canonical correlation was successful. This figure shows briefly, it simply shows how the correlation measure changes according to the hypothetical time shift. So in this case, I used the perfectly synchronized audiovisual signals. So the column in the middle, this is the correct hypothesis, while this column, the right side column, is a wrong hypothesis. So this is t equal 31, which means around about 1 second. So here you can see that the correlation measure, canonical correlation measure, is larger when they are synchronized in the middle column than in comparison to the right side. So for example, 0.7 versus 0.8, and in this case, the bottom case is 0.6 versus 0.9. And one more thing you can see here is that the black area, when I measure the correlation between different tiles and the audio signal, I took only the tiles which have the motion inside. So when the motion is negligible, then I didn't do the analysis to save the computation, and that is appeared as a black part. So in this case, you can see the unanalyzed tiles are quite small in comparison to the whole scene. Okay, final conclusion. So to summarize, we propose an automatic synchronization method, and I tried different correlation measures and found that the quadratic information implementation was quite sensitive to the Gaussian parameters, whereas the canonical correlation showed overall quite robust results. And one thing I'd like to mention here is that the similar approach was also applied to 3D stereoscopic video synchronization. So in stereoscopic video, you have two video streams, and if they are not synchronized, then you see double vision. For example, here, I don't know if you can see clearly, but you see the laptop, the lid of the laptop is, you see twice. One is here, the other one is here. So the synchronization problem may also occur in this case, and we applied the similar technique and we could solve the problem, and this was presented in previous year in ICIP. Finally, the future work is we're going to test the method more on diverse contents, because we use only three content here. And also, we'd like to continue studying on this synchronization problem in different media like mobile, HDTV, or 3D, etc. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have time just for one question. Casus.
I think I know that. If I remember correctly, I think it's only for speech sequence. So I think they tried to find the lip area first, and then they used some lip specific features to recover the synchronization. That's what I remember. But in this case, the difference is I didn't do that. So I think I know that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. We move to the second paper.